If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. So tonight our seminar topic is, what have you come to fulfill? What have you come to fulfill? So let's take a deep breath and quietly set your intention to attune to the Beloved. The Beloved lives within you as the deepest fulfillment of your innermost being. It is the one place of absolute security and comfort, absolute revelation, and total fulfillment. For it's only in experiencing the divine presence that we truly experience fulfillment. So fulfillment, probably we could look at in many, many ways and levels. And we'll cover probably many of them this evening. But why don't you ask the Beloved within you, your inner master, to reveal to you where you are in that equation, within the fulfilling of your objective for this incarnation. What have you come in this particular embodiment to fulfill? I know it's that one thing that is a non-negotiable in your life. There's no wiggle room. You absolutely must have. And perhaps you don't have a clue as to what that might be. Maybe you've never really considered the fact that your life was here to fulfill something. So again, fill yourself with your next breath, with the awareness of the divinity that lives in you as your true self. Deep breath. And allow the fulfilling of the divine essence to push to the periphery of your radiance. Anything that now wants to be dissolved in the love of God. All the energies, programs, patternings, subconscious addictions, compulsions, everything that runs your life except the Spirit Divine. Invite it to take this opportunity to go home to love. And with your next deep breath, just thank it and release it, and see it flying out with your breath like homing pigeons, only they're not going to roost anymore in your bell tower. They're going home to love, the big love that is infinite. So take a deep breath and allow all that wants to go home to love to be released now. And with your next deep breath, allow the Holy Spirit, the Divine Beloved, to completely fill you. Deep breath. And receive the infusion of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's it. It's those goosebumps from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet that washes over you and fills you with energy and bliss and the peace of God. You can always tell when you're filled with a presence, because the peace of God that has no human understanding, no rhyme or reason, it simply is there. This morning when I was having my God talk, the Holy Spirit gave me such a beautiful prayer, and I'd like to share it with you because it's such a great attitude adjuster for your day. Here it is. I walk with God in perfect grace. He gives me His thoughts to think, His words to speak, His love to bestow, His way to walk. I am in Him, He is in me, forever one. So our lives are much like a strand of pearls that we keep adding to. And this continues whether our focus of consciousness is in this material dimension or is focused upon one of the other more subtle dimensions of ongoing life. Because after we move from this room of consciousness expression into a more subtle form of life, into another room in the house of God's house of many, many rooms or many mansions, we keep working towards fulfilling those same objectives. That doesn't shift. When we leave the material densified form that we often think of as our real life, but it's not any more real than any other level of expression. What material densification offers is a full multi-dimensional continuum of experience, which when you don't have the physical component, you aren't quite full in that spectrum of expression. So when you have fully densified light and sound and the love that you are into this physical dimension, that is when you anchor the consciousness that you activate and quicken multidimensionally throughout the entire hologram of time, space, and causation, and beyond. And that's why we practice these, let's say, approaches in this lifetime so that we can secure them for eternity. This is the place where you anchor and secure those levels so that they have an ongoing process with you. And so when we awaken to the fact that we are living an eternal life right now, and that our real life as an awakened being is one of ongoing, joyous, creative expression, we will also at the same time become more grounded and focused in this life episode. So again, let me ask you, what have you come to fulfill in this lifetime? And on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being complete fulfillment, where are you in that equation? Are you involved in a fulfilling life right now? And if so, what is fulfilling about your present life? What do you find to be fulfilling? Oh, what is fulfillment? Fulfillment, what is it? Well, it is to be full, filled up with a sense of living on purpose and involved with whatever it is that fills up your senses. I'm referring here to the lyrics in John Denver's song, Annie. You fill up my senses. And whatever fills up your senses, and the only thing that's going to really fill up your senses and beyond your senses, is the presence, the divine presence, which is actually you, without any of the distortions of the lower consciousness blocking that. It's when only the divine shows up in you, as you, that you're truly fulfilled. But in the meantime, let's look at where you are right now with that, if that's not entirely your experience. Begin to look at what fills up your heart, your life, with sweetness, purpose, love, a sense of wholeness. And this is important journaling material that you might want to spend some time with. And do you even think of fulfillment? Maybe some of you don't think of it very much, unless you are an old soul and in a cycle of completing this seemingly endless immersion and appearing and disappearing from the time-space continuums of the lower realms. Many of you that choose to listen to these seminars are exactly in the category of those that are in cycles of completion. And many of you are self-realized or in the process of realizing that self and bringing yourself to the place of fulfillment. So if your life were fulfilled right now, let's do a as if, what would it be like? How would your life differ if it were in a state of absolute fulfillment? How would it differ from your present life circumstances? And what stands in the way of your fulfillment right now? What is it? What have you made more important than fulfilling your deepest soul's purpose? Ah, there's a deciding factor, isn't it? We just said the word soul. So what are you seeking to fulfill? The relentless desires of that capricious, sneaky ego mind? Well, if you are, I can tell you that the ego mind will never give up generating discontent, grudges, complaints, and a seemingly endless array of time and energy-consuming desires. So be aware that all of the ego's agendas are designed to delay your spiritual fulfillment and liberation now, right now. The whole agenda of the ego is to continually keep you seeking and never finding. And that's a description that Jesus gives in A Course in Miracles. Keeps you seeking, but never finding. So how can you tell if it's ego? Well, it only has its attention on what will give you short-term stimulation and distraction. And it doesn't care in the least about anyone or anything but itself. So the ego mind is 100% selfish. The ego is the sense of me and mine, and to heck with everyone else. So the focus of the ego is never, ever we and our. It's very much that polarized me against them kind of mentality. So the ego is always involved with exacerbating conflict and highlighting separation and polarization, which the ego knows will keep you bound to karmic repercussions. So ego also sets you up to disappoint you with the hope that it will discourage you completely from further spiritual inquiry. It wants you to give up, quit trying. It wants to destroy your health, your mind, your life, and basically do you in and take you out. So the ego is a vicious killer and your arch enemy. So, if you spend all your time fighting the ego wins, because the more you fight it, the more you give it reality. So it's that you have to be aware of, but not against. Every time you enter into againstness, you have blocked further progression. So even though the ego only comes to kill, rob, and destroy, nevertheless, you have to realize that in highest truth, it is simply the belief in separation from God. And therefore, it is simply fear or false evidence appearing real. So yes, it's correct. Some of you have said, well, yeah, that comes right out of the Bible. The devil comes to kill, rob, and destroy. Yeah, that's right. The ego is what we would collectively call the devil, which if you spell that the other way around, D-E-V-I-L, you find L-I-V-E-D, lived. So it is that which clings to that which has already been lived, or the past. And therefore, you find also in the same word, evil, E-V-I-L. So it's D-evil. It's the evil of clinging to the past and judging it and making things and people and situations wrong and spending all of your energy ranting and railing against all of that. So this energetic of separation and fear takes the form of the false self. Another term is, we could call it the Antichrist spirit. What is the Antichrist spirit? Well, it's that which denies the power of love and forgiveness. It's that part that creates doubt and disbelief and every form of negativity. So you see, these things that you think of as outer are all enemies of your own household, as Jesus would put it. And your household is what you allow to live inside your mind, your thoughts. It's the things that you keep company with and host by repeated attention and focus. So your life is being directed either by the ego mind or the Christ mind. Or as the Buddhist would define it, either you are operating in the mode of ignorance or right mindfulness. So right mindfulness or mindedness is where you're ever discerning between the impermanence of all material things and the permanent state of all spiritual things, or of the Buddha mind of enlightenment. So while the metaphors are slightly altered with the different religious traditions and spiritual worldviews, nevertheless, they all come down to the same essential truth. The things of the material world are all temporary, and everything is in a state of impermanence and passing and changing on to another, more subtle state. All you have to do is look at your own life. You're forever changing, are you not? Where is the baby? Where is the youth, the teenager? Where is the young person? Or, some of you, where is the person you were in middle age? You keep changing, don't you? So the question remains, again, are you fulfilled or experiencing fulfillment in the areas of life that are eternal, that you can take with you, so to speak, that are incorruptible? And of course, these will have to be in the level of the spiritual ethos of life, of values and states of awareness that you quicken into conscious awareness in any given embodiment. And these are quickened as you examine and contemplate and ruminate the things that we are sharing here. This is true meditation. When you mull over in your mind, who am I really? And what is fulfillment? And what is it that fulfills me so that I have a sense that I'm on purpose with this incarnation? And so this forms a spiritual exercise and an ongoing process that you're going to be involved with all the time. You don't have to have a special time and place for this. So where are you right now in terms of fulfillment? And if you don't know, here's a fun way to jiggle that subconscious knowing to the surface of your awareness. So many people, when you ask them, well, what do you want? They give you a long laundry list of what they don't want. Haven't you noticed that? What do you want? Well, I know I don't want. And then they'll go on and on and on and on. It's like, yeah, but what do you want? And that's a tough one because a lot of people, for some reason or another, have allowed the ego mind to convince them that they're not worthy, or they're sinful, or God's got it in for them, or they have to wait until they die and go to heaven, or they have to ascend or become a master or whatever, fill in the blank. But there's always some reason why they can't be and have that right now. And you know that spirit is now. And God always is a now giver. The minute you ask, it's given to you. It may take you a while to catch up to the gift. It may take you a while to get some of you out of the way so that you can actually see that the gift has already been given. But that's not God's process. That's your mental process. But realize that the minute you ask, even before you ask, even without asking at all, God has already given everything to you, eternally and always. Why? Because you're one with God. you live and move and have your being in God. That's the one thing that you cannot ever, ever, ever change or lose or even mess up. That's right, you can't even mess it up. And you don't have to change yourself and pretzel yourself to be loved by God and to be worthy of this. That's part of that old ego interpretation that was made of the scriptures that gave you the idea that you couldn't be, do, and have the whole enchilada of your own fullness and wholesomeness and fulfillment, divinely speaking, right here and right now. Remember, another name for the old ego is the call, K-A-L, which is the spirit of darkness and ignorance and time. So it's that old time element that keeps you entrapped here when you think, well, you know, one day, no, today is the day of salvation. Today, now, right now, you can move into the full at-one-ment and receive the atonement of absolute fulfillment right now. Nothing is stopping you but your own mind's delaying tactics. So, let's do this fun exercise. Ready? In a journaling exercise, and this is going to be something that you'll do after we go off the air. In a journaling exercise, which you do at your own leisure, write down in great detail your ideal life. How would it be? Where and how would you be living? And with whom? What would your ideal day consist of? From morning to night, what would you be doing? What sights would you be seeing? What sounds would you be hearing? What scents would you be smelling? What is the most important non-negotiable in your life? What absolutely must you have in your life to be truly fulfilled? And take some time doing that. I did one yesterday, and it was the first time I was actually able to state for myself, which I thought was interesting because I've never been able to really come up with that myself before. So write down in great detail your ideal life. In great detail, think of everything. You know, you wake up in the morning, what do you want to see? What do you want to hear? What do you want to smell? What do you want to taste? What do you want to be involved with? What do you absolutely have to be truly fulfilled? And what is the non-negotiable elements in your life? What are the non-negotiables? And now bring that all into a simple area of focus. And finish these sentences. I am most fulfilled when I am. True fulfillment to me is. I am most fulfilled when I am. True fulfillment to me is. And now look at your present life and consider the ways that all along you have been fulfilling your life's purpose. You know, hopefully you have some sense of what that is now. And now look for the evidence of how your whole life has been taking steps into that fulfilling process. Always, always win in your inner imagery. Be your own best friend. Never write down bad things about yourself, ever. That just serves to lock it more into your consciousness. Always win in your imagery. Be your own best friend. Never badmouth yourself, ever. So, consider all the ways that you have experienced fulfillment. Learn to get out of areas that were less fulfilling or that weren't fulfilling. Look at how true you have been to your overall soul's purpose for this incarnation. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. You know, earlier when I was speaking about each life being a pearl, one of the most beautiful miracles that happened with Sai Baba and some of his devotees that were with him, he was walking along the seashore, and the sea itself came in and washed around his feet. And when the sea receded, his feet were surrounded with a strand of pearls, so that even the sea was bearing witness and homage to the divine avatar. And that's a beautiful, beautiful imagery for you also. Let's do it right now. Stand on the seashore and look out upon the ocean. Do you know in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, among the great bodies of water, I am the ocean. And so when I look at the ocean, and I live close to the ocean here in Southern California, I always think of Lord Krishna, and I've had many, many ecstatic, divine, mystical experiences walking along the seashore. In fact, one time, for those of you that have some understanding of Indian culture, which I've practiced for many, many lifetimes, I was walking along and I found a beautiful little Shiva Lingam, which is the oval-shaped symbol of God as the Creator. And it was absolutely perfect, and it looked like it had already been worshipped with puja because it had red, kind of red marks on the top, like they had put that red powder that they call kumkum when they were doing the puja. And nearby, I found a beautiful little yoni base, exactly as if I had gone into an Indian store and looked to find one, that the little lingam fit in perfectly. And I looked all over the seashore to see if I could find any similar stones or rocks. And no, there was nothing even remotely like that anywhere on the beach. It was just sand. So obviously it was a divine manifestation, a gift that Sai Baba had materialized for me because I was in a divine mood. I was chanting the name of Krishna. I was in bliss, okay? I was in divine bliss. And so I wanted to immediately worship the lingam, which is the symbol of the unmanifest God from which all creation comes forth and into which all creation merges. And in India, the lingam is worshipped with little white flowers. So lo and behold, right there by the seashore, not far away at all, was a bush with five-pointed white blossoms, which is exactly what is used to worship the Shiva Lingam in India. And so I became lost in that divine scene. And when you live a life of active mysticism, which I do, you will find that you step through the dimensions of reality and you walk into an experiential realm of things that happen, appear, show up, manifest in the most serendipitous ways you could possibly imagine. Because all of nature is in constant adoration of the divine, all of nature. And when you are a child of the divine, and you are absorbed and enraptured in those higher states of consciousness, all of nature becomes supernaturally inclined to manifest to you. Like the prophet Elijah, for example, he was fed day and night by the ravens. The Bible said he was brought bread and meat morning and evening by the ravens. And there's a group of yogis in India that Sai Baba sent off to live in a cave, which is called the Gufa, G-U-F-A. Gufa means cave, ashram, up in the Himalayas. And he gave them an akshaya patra. An akshaya patra is a pot that has an ever-fulfilling supply of food. And this is the first time in the modern history. There are stories of the akshaya patra with the Pandavas and in Vedic times. But this was a constantly replenishing pot that would supply everything that these 40 yogi mystics would need as they lived in this cave. And so every morning and every evening it would manifest rice and sambar and idli and, you know, all of the things, South Indian foods that that Indians eat, vegetables and rice and hot sauce, basically. Not hot sauce, but, you know, this, like, really hot vegetable liquid that they put on the rice. It's called sambar. And so that was manifesting. And then after some time, they got tired of that. You know, enough already with the rice and the sambar. And they wanted fruit and sweets. So they complained to Swami and put their petition before him in their minds and their prayers, because Baba was far, far away physically in the ashram while they were up in the Himalayas. But from that time on, they also had fruits and sweets. There's a little booklet that you can get if you're lucky. You can get it in India. I don't know if you can still get it at the Sai Baba Book Center, but perhaps you can. That tells about the Gufa Ashram and these 40 yogis that have the modern-day Vedic Akshaya Patra. Akshaya means ongoing, eternal, you know, non, without ceasing. And Patra is the pot. So that ever-fulfilling pot. There's a lot of interesting stories in the Shastras about the Pandavas and the Akshaya Patra of those days. But there are miracles happening on the planet today that we have not seen taking place since the ancient Vedic times, because we haven't had a Purna, a full divine avatar, in our midst of the magnitude of Sri Satya Sai Baba. And before him, Shirdi Sai Baba, his previous incarnation, and the next version, which is Prema Sai Baba, who is with us now, but probably will not reveal his presence, maybe for a long time, because the whole idea with Prema Sai is to realize that you are God and not to follow his form. So I doubt very much if he's going to reveal himself outwardly for a very long time. But eventually, you know, we will be led fully into a full golden age by Prema, because Sai Baba already established the Golden Age, and Prema Sai Baba will dwell in the Golden Age with us. So just know that that has been set in motion by the Divine Avatar, and even though it seems like many things are going on in the world today that are dark and evil, Baba said that that is not so, that there is less war, less violence, less of everything than there's ever actually been before in this entire history of this planet. It's just that everything is on the surface now. You can't hide it anymore. Everything is being revealed, and that's the meaning of the word apocalypsis, which means the uncovering or the unveiling. So the apocalypse is the uncovering of that which has heretofore been hidden in the darkness. And the light of the divine spirit is shining now into all of those dark crevasses of our collective darkness, and it's bringing it all to the surface and into the light. And that's why we have the opportunity to work through that karma, which is the hard way, or to place your life fully and completely in the hands of God and step free through grace. So you have those two choices. You can do it the hard way, which is to work out your karma, or you can do it the easy way and surrender your life completely and fully with no trace of ego to the Lord, to God Almighty. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to take full charge and command of every quark of your existence, the quark being the smallest subatomic particle, when you ask the Holy Spirit to take charge and command of every quark of your existence, and you keep asking the Holy Spirit to give you his interpretation of life rather than your ego mind's interpretation, you'll find a whole new life opens up for you. A whole new life opens up for you. And you'll find that things are easy. Instead of having a massive car accident, like me, you'll have a cut on your eyebrow instead of having a car crash. Or you'll sprain your ankle instead of breaking your leg. There's so many little ways that things can be cleared and fulfilled that don't require more drastic karmic fulfillment, let's say. Well, that's not a good way to put it, but in a sense, we do fulfill karma, because what you have set in motion, you are responsible for. And unless you come under the grace and sponsorship of a more advanced being, you have to work it out yourself. So that's why it's so important to be consecrated to a spiritual path and a spiritual way shower. It's very important. And again, you never, never, never worship or follow anybody's body, anybody's personality, anybody's outer form. Even though it appears as if that's what many people do, all true teachers will direct you to go within, to the inner master. All masters do that, all teachers. They may call it the Holy Spirit, or the Christ, or the mystical traveler, or the Mahanta, or what, the conscience, or divine guidance, or the ing, whatever you call it, it doesn't matter. It is that formless guiding essence within you. And it lives in you and speaks as loud as your willingness to listen and gets your attention however it has to. But one way or the other, it will get your attention. And the only thing you need to do is open your mind, your heart, and your life, and allow that which is greater than you to take over and take charge. And when things happen in the world and you don't know how to react, you don't just go all full bore in ego mode. You stop and you say, Holy Spirit, please show me what to do here. Please give me your answer as to how I am to respond. And the answer will always be some form of peace, some form of loving, always, always. The Holy Spirit always beholds your perfection and your wholeness and reminds you of the perfection and wholeness of your brother and sister, which is everybody out there. So stop and ask, how would you have me see this? And I do that when I'm watching news, when I hear negative reports, when I feel upset, when I need to balance some action with someone, when whatever, you know, whenever, you know, I want God's answer, God's point of view, God's direction, and not my own to prevail, I always ask that which is greater for his perception. Or her. You know, you can call God his, him or her. Doesn't matter, because God is without gender, without form. So as bearers of light, most of us have come in to participate in fulfilling a group purpose. And you may discover that what is really fulfilling to you has less of a personal element and is more of an overall objective that you sense or know you are here to fulfill. Basically, it is a call to service in some form. It's serving that fulfills us in this world. We're here to be ambassadors and emissaries of the divine, ambassadors of God's kingdom on earth, God's kingdom come upon the earth, so that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what fulfills us. We want to know that we are making a contribution to the planet and to the lives of other people. That's what gives us a sense of well-being and living a life that has a higher meaning. You know, we aren't meant to create such a difficult, expensive lifestyle that all of our waking hours are spent doing one or two or sometimes even three jobs just to keep the car and the house and the clothes and the lifestyle. No, we're meant to have lives in which we live and move and have our being in a higher reality. And that one is always one which is simple and beautiful and is self-elected in the sense that we are on top of our energy and allow that Holy Spirit to flow things to us. And we're not out beating the bushes trying to make things happen. We're not trying to make anything happen. We're trying to open up and become receptive to a higher level of guidance that will go before us, opening the door, spreading the path, clearing the way, and laying before us a table in the presence of our enemies, in the presence of denial and doubt and ridicule. We will feast and we will be able to have a full sense of support regardless of what the economy does, regardless of what happens in the world, regardless of what the talking heads are saying or is going to happen on the television. We don't have to even think about that. We have to step back and let him lead the way. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to call us into the areas that he has already prepared for us. And when you are called by the Holy Spirit, things fall into place without any stress, without any struggle. Stress and struggle and that feeling of being drained and burned out lets you know that your ego is running you. Your lower self is running you. Because there's no drain, there's no burnout, there's no getting tired, there's no getting drained when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to keep filling you. Like last week, we said you have to keep recharging your battery by being connected to the divine. You have to consistently keep reconnecting to the divine to keep yourself charged and energized. So you're working in something in your life if you're in the process of fulfilling a spiritual commitment that you've made, let's say, you're in the process of doing that right now. So sometimes it's just a matter of looking to see what's there for the obvious to become, obvious to you. So look at your life. You know, your life is your message, your life is your ministry, your life is your ashram, your life is your arena of training, your life is everything. Your daily life, how you wake up, what you say to yourself is the first thing when you wake up. what you do, the rituals that you do each day as you awaken, begin to import spiritual rituals into your day that are as consistent as getting up and washing your face and brushing your teeth, whatever it is you do in the morning, having your tea or your coffee. Insert into that mantra and some form of spiritual component that keeps you focused all the time as you go through your day and what you're doing. Mantra is an excellent thing to do, where you chant the name of God or you have an ongoing dialogue with the Lord as you go about your day. Now, if you're working, you don't do that. You set the stage before you work by offering your day to the Lord and the fruits of your actions to the Lord, so that you ask the Lord to speak through you, act through you, walk through you, talk through you, and to take charge and command of every experience and interaction that you have that day. And then you do your work as a yoga. What does that mean? It means you do it with all of your loving and your heart as best as you can. Make it excellent. Whatever you do, do it for God. Give your very best to your employer. Your very best. Your very best. Because you're in the employ of God. You're in the employ of God. You may have karma with that boss. So, doesn't matter. You're working for the Lord. And your assignment is to heal that relationship as best you can so that you have nothing but goodwill and neutrality going between you and those people that you're working with and for. And that would be working through karma. But you know, people meet you where you're at and return to you the same energy that you put out towards them. So if you don't want the ego's wrath to nail you when you come into your boss's office, begin to imagine your boss as the beloved. Begin to mock up in your mind a divine ascended master that's absolutely perfect, regardless of the outer form of that expression. And when you go in with that attitude of just looking past the aberrations of the personality ego mask, and you see the wholeness of the divine, because Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the very least of these, you have done to him. When you treat everyone as you would want to treat Jesus himself, you will find that that part that is the higher self will meet you, and you'll be amazed. I've practiced this many, many times throughout my life, and it's amazing how people will transform just by your changing your attitude as you go in and interact with them. So always have a spirit of loving goodwill and forgiveness. And wish everyone well. Have a blessing on your lips for everyone, particularly the people who are negative and mean-spirited and who mean you harm. Jesus said to pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those that are abusing others. Don't see them as abusers. See them as the Christ, because whatever you focus on, you will encourage and intensify, both in that individual and in the collective. So see what you would have, not what appears. See through the eyes of the beloved. And also place your energy where you would have an increase, where you would have more. Because what you give, you are actually increasing in yourself. That's why when you judge and criticize another, you are actually importing and exacerbating in your own consciousness the very thing that you find repulsive in another person. That's the truth. You know, that's what Sai Baba says, that, you know, the evil we see in another, we're fortifying and increasing in our own life. So give only what you would receive more of. Teach only what you would learn. And above all, love all. and serve all, and have a servant's heart of humility towards everyone. Always have the attitude of wanting to increase the happiness and the light and the joy of other people. When you do that, you will help them raise their vibration. They may not know how to shift their vibrational state into a higher level. So you have to, in a sense, give them a leg up, like a jockey on a racehorse. You have to give them a leg up, a boost, so that they can appear more as a knight in shining armor and not so much as the negative element. So as bearers of light, that's our job. That's our job is to increase the higher vibration on this planet, which has to be us first. We have to raise our own vibration and then do what we can to increase the light and the happiness, which is also the raising of vibration, in the people around us. Everybody in this whole world only wants attention, appreciation, and affection. The attention that everyone really wants is respect. The appreciation that everyone wants is to be seen as a person that has value. And the affection everyone craves is a kindly regard that gives a person a feeling of being accepted for who and what they are and loved just as they are. So our job is not to correct. We can't. Our job is to remove the splinter from our eye and not make a big deal of the speck in the eye of our fellow man. Only the Holy Spirit, the Beloved, can transform people. And that's always an inside job that's done with each one of us personally. All we can do is live a life that's been touched by the Beloved, that is full, filled, and overflowing with the divine nectar of the Holy Presence. That's all we can do. And then, wherever we go, we are a bearer of the true gospel of the Christ, that the kingdom of God is here now, and it's manifesting through you and through me. So let's go out chanting Anaihu, which again brings us into the consciousness of one accord. Deep breath. All the beings of all the worlds have peace and happiness. Adonai.